We're holding the last line of Chofches on the day. So we learned yesterday, the Mishnah told us that you have a person who's...
Is there another
shear
on
Beitza? There is another shear on Beitza, that's
in the next. That's the one that I was actually...
Oh, well then, okay.
Sorry,
okay.
I'm very sorry.
No problem. Okay, so the Mishnah told us that you have a person who's going out to be... Okay. No, Benzin. So the Mishnah told us in the case of a person who is Yotzei Lahorig, he's going out to be executed, we said that you have to do Chumri Chayim v'Chumri Meisim. Well, Chumri, you have to consider he might be alive or he might be dead. So yesterday, the Gemara had talked about, we started, Rabbi Yosef had said that there's a difference in that regard between, hello, between Beis Din Shol Yisrael and Beis Din Shol and Beis Din Shol Ovdei Chachamim. A Jewish Beis Din, we said, so we had one version yesterday, and we're going to have another version of the discussion today. The version we had yesterday was that Beis Din Shol Yisrael, you can't be certain. Maybe at the last moment they might find some ground to exonerate him. Whereas Beis Din Shol Ovdei Chachamim, we said yesterday, once they sign the verdict, that's it. They're not even susceptible to taking shoshav anymore. They're not even susceptible to taking bribe. The guy is a goner. And that brought us into a discussion that said, so what if they say he's dead? Why can't we believe him just because of Messiah of the Tumay? And he said because they may lie and claim that they executed him when really they didn't, in order that people should fear them, in order that they'll appear to be tough on crime. So now, Ikadamri, now we have another version of the discussion. Amr of Yosef, the other way around. The Mishnah that says that you have to consider the Chumra, that the guy may be alive or he may be dead, that is talking about a Beis Din of Goyim. Because they may take shoychat, they may take bribes to exonerate him, even after the verdict has been signed. Abel based in Yisrael, but when it comes to a Jewish based in, given the nafak le'din al-Aftala, once they decided the verdict is that he's going to be executed, kapile, they're going to execute him. Just the opposite of now. Yesterday we mentioned the point that was based in Yisrael, the last moment they may find grounds to exonerate him, yeah. And then they have the whole system with the horse and the flagman and whatever. So what happens over here? So Rashi says briefly, and Tosfos says in more detail, that it's true they had that whole system in case, but it was very rare that they should actually have to use that. A based in Yisrael, Sanhedrin, would check out the situation very, very carefully when the case is still going on. So by the time they got to the point already of deciding that the guy is to be executed, and remember, they didn't do that on a regular basis. You know, the Mishnah says in Makos that a Beis Din that executes somebody even once in seven years or 70 years is a Beis Din Chablonis, is a destructive Beis Din. So it was very rare, b'chlal, that they would get to the point of condemning the guy to be killed.
There were
two in the Midbar. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
In the Midbar,
there was the Machal, the Makosha Sheitzim, the one who was Machal Shabbos, and the one who cursed David Shit. But throughout all the hundreds of years when there was a Sanhedrin, there may have been many of them. We know about I don't know 10 or so of them from various Sukkim and Gemaras and whatnot. What about the Chiruch Hafshis? I mean, a person has the Chiruch Hafshis. If they do the wrong thing, then they may forfeit their life. So the point is, once the Beis Din Shel Yisrael has gotten to the point already of condemning the person to be executed, it's very unlikely that all of a sudden it's going to be turned around and he's going to be saved from it. Therefore, we can assume that he's dead. There's no reason to Chumre Chaim v'Chumre Meisim. Yeah.
And in a Goyshe Beis
Din. In a Goyshe Beis Din, at the last moment, they may be willing to take Shreilah. Omalei Abaya, based in Shari Yisrael Nami, Efshe Dechoza Leitzchosa. Okay, but can a based in Shari Yisrael also find him a schos? The answer is, Ki Chosu Leitzchosa, when might they find a schos for him? Mikami de Ligmar Dinah. They might find it before the Gmar Din. Both the Gmar Din, Tulei Chosu Leitzchosa, but after the Gmar Din, they're not going to be, they're not, they can't. Again, they could, in principle, find him a schos. That's why they have that whole system to bring him back if need be. But it's very rare that it should actually happen that at that point, at that last moment like that, they'll find a schus that wasn't already brought up during the trial. Okay. Something about the Lema Messiah Lake, and we say now that the following Mishnah from Masechta Makos supports this version of what Rabbi Yosef says. Yesterday, the Gemara had brought it as a question against Rabbi Yosef. Now we're going to use it as a proof for him. The Mishnah says, Kol Mokom Shayam Rishnayim, in any basin, any basin, the smicha in the world, Shayam Rishnayim, that two Edom stand up, we give Edos on Pliny, on Reuven, that he was judged in the base din of Shimon, the base din of what Shimon is the Rosh base din, or Pliny Edom, and Levi and Yehuda are the Edom by whose testimony he was condemned. Then you execute him. And the other basin doesn't say, well, maybe we should look over the case again and find out, maybe after all there was reason to exonerate him. I mean, he ran away from the original basin. They weren't able to execute him. But now Adam comes to another basin and say, you know, this guy who's in town now is actually a wanted criminal back home. And we see you execute him. So therefore that seems to obviously you have to interrogate these two agents. But all you have to do, you don't have to interrogate them about the original facts of the case. Did he kill or did he not kill or whatever? All you need to interrogate them on is, were they there? Did they witness the Beis Din actually declaring the death sentence against him? So you see, therefore, that yes, the Beis Din Shor Yisrael is not going to find him as chus, because therefore we say that the new Beis Din doesn't have to worry, that maybe after all, the old Beis Din at the last moment found as chus. The answer is, as the Gemara said yesterday, Dilma Bereach Shiny. Yes, but it might be different if he ran away. It's because, especially if he ran away, first of all, it sort of shows that he's guilty. Second of all, if he ran away, it means that they're not going to try to look for his chus at that point. They're going to want to get rid of him, because you never know, if they take the time to start looking for more chus for him, he may run away again. So therefore, you can't prove from that in a normal situation where he hasn't run away that they wouldn't keep on looking for chus until the last moment.
If he runs away before the end of the trial.
Right? No, not before the end of the trial. It was after the end of the trial. He was already convicted.
But before
the executor.
Right. Yeah. Before the end of the trial.
Like before the end of the trial, then that's different. Then the Mishnah says, they're so soon as dinner, then you got to start the whole case over again. Okay. Toshma. Brisa says, Shama based in Shah Yisrael, Shayom Ishpani Meis Ishpani Nerag, if you hear from a Jewish based in that they say so-and-so died, as we said yesterday, in custody, in the kippah over there, where they put repeat offenders, or Nerag, that he's executed, Yassi or Sishta, then you can allow his wife to remarry on that basis. We can trust what they're saying. On the other hand, Mekum Tzrisin, Shalom Vikachavim Ishpani Meis Ishpani Nerag, but if you hear from Goyish record keepers that so-and-so died, actually, Rashi on the previous summit on Chav Chesam Adbeis says that died doesn't just mean could just mean in jail or whatever. But Rashi actually mentions an example from Masechta Avodah Zarah where there was a guy who had a senator who had spoken up on behalf of the Jewish people to defend them, and therefore and got the emperor angry at him. The emperor ordered that he should be thrown into a house packed with dirt. So basically, the guy's buried alive. That's next what we mean over here, that he died. In other words, not by actually having his head chopped off, but yeah. Anyway, so if they say mess or nerag, that he was executed, al yasir asishta, then you can't allow his wife to remarry on that basis. So again, like the Gemara did yesterday, we have to consider my mess or my nerag. What do we mean he died? What do we mean that they say he died versus that he was killed? If you're going to say that it means you heard from a Beis Din Shor Yisrael that he actually died in the kippah, or he was actually executed by skiller or strafer or what have you, well then, so if you have a parallel case by Goyim, where they say that he died in the house filled with earth, or that he was executed by having his head chopped off, why shouldn't they be able to allow his wife to remarry on the basis of hearing that from these kumtarissim, from these Goyish record keepers? We know that when a goy comes to Beis Din to say Eidos, we don't accept it from him. But if he's Mesiach Vitumah, if he just says it like in an offhand kind of way, and from that you can deduce the facts, then you can accept that, as we learned in Yevamos. So what would be the problem? El Olav, it must be, Mes means Yoytzalamus, then it must be that in the Braith of the word Mes doesn't mean that he's actually dead now, but that he's on his way to die. He's been thrown into that house full of earth. And therefore he's soon going to be dead, but he's not yet. But Nerag Yotze L'Horeg, Nerag would mean that he's going out to be executed, but he's not yet. And therefore, at V'katoni B'Beis Din Shor Yisrael, Yassi Yoratishe, and you're saying that if it was a Jewish Beis Din, you can allow his wife to be married. Which means that would seem to support what Rabbi Yosef is saying, that by Beis Din Shor Yisrael, once the verdict has been given, then that's it, he's a goner. There's no way that it's going to be overturned. It's very, very unlikely that it's going to be overturned. Whereas with a basis of Shalom Yisrael, shows that you consider him dead. Yeah.
The verdict is not going to
change. It's not going to be changed. As opposed to a basis of Shalom Yisrael, even at the last moment, even after they've already put him in that house, or even after they're already taking him out, to get his head chopped off at the last moment, they may take Shochad or whatever and then free him. So then that would support what Rabbi Yosef is saying, the second version of what Rabbi Yosef is saying. Yeah. The answer is no. La'olam mes mamash v'nereg mamash. No, you could say the Braisa is not really proof to Rabbi Yosef, because you could say it literally means that he's dead, or it literally means that he's killed. And you're asking the Chavasegah ba'odik chamamaylois. You're asking, why can't you accept that statement from a goy then that he's dead, that he was killed, whether that he was killed or left to die by the goyish abaisin? When we say that a goy mesiach v'tumah is acceptable. And again, the reason is, as Gemara said yesterday, this only applies when they themselves have no direct connection to it. Abu b'milsa, the shaychibah, well, meaning, in other words, like this, the base central obik v'chavim would want, that's what we said yesterday, they would want to falsely claim that they killed him, even if they didn't, in order to make themselves seem tough on crime and that people should be afraid of them or whatever. Shaykh, like they have a relevance. They have a vested interest, exactly. Abu Bamilsa, the Shaykh, about something that they have a vested interest in, they may well say that they executed him in order to strengthen their lies.
So
we talked yesterday, we talked at the end, that was the Rambam seems to say that it's only the Goyish based in themselves, that you can't, the members of the court itself, that you can't accept this kind of statement from. But if you have somebody else, if you have some third party that comes and says, this person was executed by this and this Goyish court, then that can be considered Mesiach HaFitomai. There are other Rishonim that disagree, that say that even third parties they want to uphold the reputation of their court system, and therefore maybe it's not accepted. So when would we accept the goy? Mesiach HaFitomai, not if he's talking about that the guy was executed by a court. Mesiach HaFitomai, like the example at the end of Yevamos over there, you know, your friend died and I buried him, or, you know, any other case, you know, I was walking along and I saw a body which I recognized, you know, I recognized this and this and this detail on it, and, you know, and I buried it. Yes. Yes. But not when it's being done, and not when it's talking about him having been executed by a court. Incidentally, the expression "lachzuki shikrayu" to strengthen their sheker, the Turma Sedeshin asks, "What's to strengthen their lie?" And it's either they're lying or they're not. He says, because sometimes you have cases and involving goyish courts where we know of these even nowadays. Of course, you know they had them in the times of the Turma Sedeshin also, where the whole case from beginning to end is one big falsehood. The original accusation was false. The now that they're claiming they actually executed the guy based on the accusation is also false. So that's lachzuki shikrayu. They're trying to strengthen their original lie. The fact that they said we originally arrested that guy because of whatever the charges were, where the charges themselves were false. Mishnah says, maybe get to Eretz Yisrael. If somebody is bringing a get from one place to another in Eretz Yisrael, where in Eretz Yisrael, as we've learned, you don't have to say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechta. You just deliver the get. B'chala, but he fell ill, so he can't deliver it. How does the Mashach of Yadacha that he can send it with somebody else? He himself can declare somebody else as a shliach without leaving based in, without leaving anything. That's what we're talking about in the Gemara. Wait. The Im Amaloi, however, if the husband told him, totally hemena chefetz pleini, if he said to him, you know what, while you're delivering her to get, also pick up something that she has that belongs to me. Then lo yishachana biyadacha. Then you're not allowed to send the get with anybody else. Shein resoina sheipikdoni biyadacha, because the husband may not want. No, not cruises. No, because he's picking up the thing. There is going to be cruises. There's going to be that separation. No, the problem is that the husband may not want that his pikadin, that his object, should be in somebody else's hands. He trusted the original shliach to take it. He doesn't necessarily trust the secondary shliach, who he doesn't even know, to take it.
So the human eye.
Plenty, yeah.
It's not from her.
No, from her. He's saying when you give, at the same time that you're giving her the get, pick up something that she has that belongs to me, that I lent her, that I deposited with her, whatever, and bring it back over here. So then you have a problem because ein ritzon she'epik doni biyadacha. The husband may not want that if the cotton is in somebody else's hand, and therefore you can't make another shliach. What do you mean? What's not to understand? The husband is saying, I want you to do two things. I want you to give her the get,
yeah,
and I want you to pick up this other object.
Right.
Now, if you send another shliach, what are you doing? That other shliach is going to pick up the thing, and then he's going to have it. But the husband didn't give him permission to have it in the first place. The husband told the original shliach, I trust you to have it in your possession, not the second shliach. Therefore, right, you can't create another shliach.
What's the problem with the get?
That's what we'll talk about in the Gemara. Wait. Not really, it's night. Well, sort of. Well, wait a little bit. We'll talk about it in the Gemara at the end of the Amud, in the beginning of the next Amud. First of all, Gemara says, what your question is, it dafka that he was sick? Amar Kahana, cholatnan. Well, our Mishnah says dafka if he's sick. So only if he's sick, there's some other kind of onus. But otherwise, no, he's not allowed to make another shliach to send him again. So shit, the cholatnan. Well, of course, that's what the Mishnah says. The answer is, Mauritamer, who I didn't ask about the loy chola. Fine, but you might have thought that maybe the same thing could apply. He's a shliach, can declare another shliach, even if he's not sick. The haida katani chola ucha de milta katani. And just the Mishnah is saying chola because that's the normal situation. Why would you send another shliach? Normally would be because you yourself are not able to make it. The mashmalon, that's what Rav Kahana is telling us, that actually, no, it's not just, it so happens, but it has to be that way.
Only in this situation.
Only, well. Now the Gemara asks, hey, Chitami, now let's consider what exactly the circumstances that we're saying that he can only make another shliach if he himself is sick. If the husband had just told him, bring the get, but he didn't say specifically, you bring it, just basically saying holech is the equivalent of saying the get needs to be brought, so even if he's not sick, why can't he make another shliach? And if he tells him, you bring it, which means he's particular doctor, you have to bring the get, then even if he's sick, how is he allowed to declare another shliach? That's the equivalent of the husband making it tonight. And the Eid of Shimon Gamliel, and if you're going to say that our Mishnah is according to the Shimon Gamliel, and the Braisa that we're going to quote in a minute, after the cholonami lo, then also according to the Shimon Gamliel, even if he's sick, it doesn't work. So, okay, the Gemara didn't really have to point out that detail about Rav Shimon Gamliel. We're going to have in a second the Machlokas, and we're going to see that Rav Shimon Gamliel says, regardless, you can never send it with another shliach. The Gemara is asking that. One of the Mephoshim says the reason why the Gemara mentions that point is because in the answer, the Gemara is going to end up saying that you can make our mission a fit even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. So, Titania, what's the Braisa? Holach get zelishti. If a husband says, bring this get to my wife, but he didn't say, at holach, he didn't say, you bring it, bring it. Then you can send it with somebody else, which sounds like it means no matter what, whether he's sick or not, the Braita is not specifying. But if he says, but if he says, you bring this get to my wife, then you're not allowed to send it with somebody else. Again, it sounds like it means whether he's sick or not. And regardless, whether he said at or not, one shliach cannot create another shliach. And, we'll talk about it in a second, what the principle is. But yeah. So it seems you don't have a way to make this work out. The distinction that Rav Kahana is making, that when the Mishnah says chola, it means only if he's sick or there's some other kind of onus. So the Gemara says, Iboy say maholah for who to chola. No, see, number one, you can answer that the case is of our Mishnah is where he said holah, he just said bring it, but then, even though the Braita is not spelling it out, that's what it means. When does it work? When is a shliach able to make another shliach? Only if he's sick. In other words, the Braita is telling us that the general fact that when you say holach, it is possible to create another shliach, but only if he's sick. We both say at holach. Or second possibility you could say is the Mishnah is talking about where the husband said to the shliach, you bring it, which means that he's makbid on him. However, you could still say it's different if he became sick. The husband didn't expect that the shliach is going to become sick. When he said acholach, he didn't have that in mind to prevent him from making a shliach in that case, we would say, according to the Tanakhama. And the very same with Rav Shimon Gamliel, or third possibility, you could say that our Mishnah goes according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. And again, b'chol ha'shayni, again, you could say Rav Shimon Gamliel was willing to make exceptions if he became sick. He would say that normally, it doesn't matter whether he said ho'ilach or at ho'ilach, ein shliach or shliach. But if he became sick, that's different. Okay. Let's look back in our Mishnah. Let's now consider what the Mishnah says. How this fits with what we were saying. And maybe get Eretz Yisrael v'chola. Somebody is bringing the get within Eretz Yisrael, and he became sick. Harei mishalcha b'yad acha. Then he's able to send it with somebody else. Uraminu. However, I have a contradiction. A Mishnah later on in the Masechta says, Omer l'shnayim tnu get l'ishti. If he says to two people, give a get to my wife. Or he says to three people, write a get and give it to my wife. So the difference is if he says to two people are not enough for a beis din, so it means he only made them eight. So they themselves have to be the ones, they themselves have to be the ones to write the get. They can't deputize a sofer to do it, for reasons which we'll talk about in a minute. If he says three are a beis din, so then a beis din is able to create a shliach. So what do we see from that? It sounds like you need a beis din in order to make a shliach. You can't have just two people. You can't have just one or two people make a shliach. So in the case where he says to two people, they themselves have to write it, they can't make a shliach. So what are you telling me, that even if the person's sick, what are we saying, that if the person is sick, then he's able to make another shliach? We see from that case over there that you can't. The Gemara could have answered that maybe there's a distinction between whether he's sick, where then maybe we'll allow him to create a shliach without needing a beis din, versus when there's no sickness and then you need two people. But the Gemara doesn't want to use that answer. Three people, actually. The Gemara doesn't want to use that answer because that mission doesn't say it. Doesn't make any such distinction. Amar Abaya, Hosam, time of mine, Mishum Bizoy and Dabal. You have to consider, Abaya says, what's the reason why, when the husband says to two people, give her the get, which means write it and give it to her, why is it that they themselves have to write it? Because of the bizoyan of the husband. Now, what bizoyan? Rashi says that what it is that usually the husband himself should be the one to write the get. The husband may not want everybody to know that he's not capable of writing a get. So therefore, maybe we don't want to allow these one or two people to hire a sofer to deputize a sofer to write it, because then more people will know that the husband is not able to write it. On the other hand, once the husband already wrote it, and gave it to a shliach, that's different. Hasam refers to in that case over there, in that Mishnah later on, at the end of the sixth parak, when it says that if you tell two people to give the get and they themselves have to write it, they can't get anybody else involved, it's because of the bizarrion of the husband.
That can exist for
anything. No, that's the thing. If the get is already written by a sofer and then it's being delivered by a shliach, fine. There's not necessarily a problem with one shliach making a shliach. That's the case of our Mishnah. But if you have to begin with, the get hasn't even been written yet, then there would be that embarrassment. There would be that design.
That would prevent it.
Other Mephoshim talk about a different possibility of bizoyin, which is just this bizoyin in the husband may not want the olam to know that he's divorcing his wife. So again, if he told two people, then he only wants them two, and of course his wife, to know what's going on. Whereas if he gives it to a shliach, then evidently he doesn't mind. It's already been written, it's already been delivered to a shliach. So Mishum Rizoyin, Hocha Baal Lekofet. In this case, obviously the husband does not mind, because once the get has been written and given to the shliach, there's no reason to object further that the get might be given to somebody else.
Because
there's a koel, or maybe because, I mean, in that case, the get has already been written. It doesn't matter. People don't know at this point. Nobody knows whether the husband wrote it or a sofer wrote it or what have you. Rabba Amar, Rabba says a different reason. Mishum de Mili, the reason why in the case of the Mishnah later on, where the get has not been written yet, why one shliach cannot make another shliach, is because there it's only words. Umili le mimser on the shliach. Words cannot be given over to a shliach. Namely, so Rashi explains the differences like this. In our Mishnah, you have a tangible object. You have the actual get. That's something that can be passed along from one shliach to another. But if you verbally tell a shliach, write a get, that shliach does not have the capability of taking those words and transferring them to another shliach. Therefore, he has to do it himself. So if he told three people, not Mishum Shlichus, it's Mishum Beis Din, and a Beis Din has the right to appoint a shliach. But if you want to have shliach, it's a shliach, it can't just be on words. It has to be on something tangible.
You can tell two people to write a
shtar. Shtar we're going to talk about in a minute, actually. But here we're talking about a get. A get, which has to be written in the Shema and everything.
So, but we say it's general.
Yes, but we're talking about the different, right, but we're not saying, of course you can have a shliach write a shtar, but the shliach can't tell another shliach to do it. That's what we're saying. That's what Rabbi is saying. As far as, by the way, there's a couple of other explanations that Rishonim have what mili means in this connection. The Mordechai talks about, but it's not a matter, like Rashi says, of words versus a tangible object. It's a matter, rather, of whether we're talking about the final stage of the thing or any earlier stage in it. The get itself is basically the final stage. The get has already been written. All that needs to be done is to have it delivered. Kisvu is an earlier stage of the whole process. It still has yet to be written. So the earlier stage, you can't give over to a shliach. The final stage, that you can have a shliach do for you. And then Mordechai brings... That's mili. The definition of mili then would be one of the earlier phases. And then the Mordechai also brings, from Hakadosh Miradosh, from Droyish. There's one of the Balei Atosfos, Rav Shloime, his name was, from Droyish, a city in France. Apparently, I don't know much about him. I guess he was killed by Kadosh Hashem, which is why he's called Hakadosh. Anyway, he has another shit. Droyish, and D-R-E-U-X, it's called in the
D-R-E-U-X.
Yeah, it's north, something like the northern France. Right. Yeah. Right. Anyway, he has a third explanation of what mili versus what you can versus you can't give a shliach. He says mili, that you can't give a shliach, is where it depends on somebody else's das, where it requires somebody else's consent. Now, in the case of giving a get, it doesn't require the wife's consent. Up to a claim to have been a get, you don't need the wife's consent to give a get. Therefore, that's something you can tell a shliach to do. To write the get, which involves getting Aiden, which involves, among other things, getting Aiden to sign it, that you can't have one shliach deputize another shliach to do. Okay. So we had the two explanations. We had Abaye's explanation. We had Abaye's explanation that it's a matter of bizoyan, and he, the husband, doesn't care because the get's already written. And we had Rava's explanation about what you're able to deputize, what one shliach can deputize another shliach for, and not. Might be now. The Gemara says, what's the practical outcome? What's the practical difference between them? The answer between these two reasons. The answer is ikabenai shliach matana. The difference would be, what about if you send somebody as a shliach, like you just said, to write out a shtar for a gift? So, namely, a balabos tells two edim, write out a shtar for so and so that I'm giving him this as a gift. So, if it's a matter of bizoyan, there's no bizoyan involved over there. But if it's a matter of, especially Rashi, not only, well, Rashi points out, because unlike a get, where the husband really is the one supposed to be writing it, and just he doesn't know how to, so he gives a sefer, a shtar matana is not something that the giver is expected to write in the first place. If a shtar matana is going to be written, it's Rashi brings from a Gemara and Bava Basra, it's really up to the recipient to have one written. So according to Abaye's reason, there'd be no reason that in that case a shliach couldn't make another shliach. On the other hand, according to Rava's reason about mili, that mili le mimsiron, that would still be a problem. Again, according to Rashi's shit, it's a verbal statement right out the contract as opposed to giving them an actual physical contract. And according to the other two explanations also, a shtematana, it's telling them to write it is not the final stage in it because it still has yet to be written. And it requires the other person's consent because you can't give a person a gift against his will. But we're plugged to the Rav Shmuel, and as a matter of fact, then this machloikas then between Abaye and Rava would be the same machloikas as Rav and Shmuel had. Rav Oma Matana ain't a get, namely that Rav says that in this sense a matana is not like a get. So therefore, a get if you tell a shliach write a get for my wife, he can't have another shliach do it, like we said from Mishnah later on. But with matana you can. Shmuel says matana is exactly like a get in that regard because of Rava's reason.
It's
like a get in the sense that just like with a get, you tell a shliach, write a get, he can't get another shliach to do it, as opposed to our mission is you actually give him a physical get. The same thing with a matana, if you tell him, write a shtar matana, he can't have somebody else do it on his behalf.
Why?
Which would be like Rava said, merely let him in the shliach. Mishnah said, that if the husband had told the shliach, while you're giving her the get, pick up this object that's in her possession, then we said you can't have another shliach send it because he doesn't want it to be in somebody else's hands. Amar Shlokish, Kan Shana Rebbe, so Rish Lakish says, in connection with this Mishnah, Rebbe taught the halacha, Ein ha-shoyl rashoy lahashil, ve-ein ha-soycha rashoy lahashil. So if you borrow something from someone, you're not allowed to lend it out to somebody else. And if you rent something from somebody, you're not allowed to rent it out to somebody else. How do we see that? That's related to our Mishnah over here. Just like we're saying that the husband is wants the object to be, up until now it's been in his wife's hand, and now he wants it to be in the first shliach's hand, but he doesn't want it to be in the second one's hand. By the same token, then, the first shliach is not allowed to lend it out, or to rent it out to the second shliach or to anybody else. That's actually no chiddush. Rabbi Yechanan says even children know that halacha. You don't need our Mishnah to tell us that din that ain't a shor rashi lahashul, etc. Ella, no. The reason why the reason behind the din in our Mishnah is actually something different. According to what you're saying, it's not really something that would possible to get itself. You're just not allowed to send a shliach. Not so much having to do with the get per se, but because you can't allow that this kekadin should be in somebody else's hands. But actually, what the Mishnah is telling us is that zimnin to gitanami lehavi. It can happen if based on the husband's stipulation that I want you to pick up this object. It can happen that the get itself becomes a possible get. So it's not a question of, it's not a matter of the halachas of dinim momenot that Reuven, the original shliach, is not allowed to deputize Shimon as a shliach because the husband can argue, I don't trust Shimon to hold my thing. No, it's rather Reuven telling Shimon to do these two things, give the get and pick up the object, may actually, in some circumstances, possible to get, as we'll talk about in a few lines.
Because of this principle.
No, not because of this principle. Wait. No, because of another principle, yeah. The Nasik Mishamala, because it would be similar to the situation. Suppose that the husband tells the shliach, Al Tagarsha El Babayis. Suppose he tells him, I want you to only give her the get on the first floor of the house, Vigersha Ba'aliyah, and instead he gave it to her on the second floor. Or Al Tagarsha El Yimin, Vigersha Ba'smarl. Or he tells him, I want you to dapka give her the get with your right hand, and instead he gave it to her with his left hand. Now, in either of those cases, not having fulfilled his shlichus, it would be an invalid shlichus, and it would be an invalid get, therefore. So therefore, by the same token over here, the husband is saying, give the get and pick up this object. It means the husband is being makbid, that the husband may be, or actually not necessarily he is, but it may be, you might infer that the husband is being makbid, that he definitely wants that he definitely wants you to pick up this object, and therefore you're not.
It's
sort of conditional, yeah. And by the way, before I should point out the reason why the Gemara uses these examples, I mean, these are like very arbitrary things. What do you care whether the get was given on the first or second floor? But we see even an arbitrary condition like that is still a condition. It still has validity. The same thing over here. Yes, it may be arbitrary that I want you to pick up this object and not somebody else, but fine. I'm allowed to be unreasonable. Then it would be volatile. That's what we're saying. Everybody agrees to that.
Does it mean that really the husband doesn't want to divorce his wife and question his intent?
No, not necessarily. As long as he's giving a valid get and telling the shliach to deliver it to her, okay, so he puts some odd condition on it, do it dafka on the first floor. Okay, but the get is still a get.
So I'll actually read you that get the same lady, or is it now a new one?
You mean if he gave it to her with his left hand, for example, or on the wrong
floor? He gave the left hand and got back and said, no, okay, fine. Give it, you know.
We didn't talk about that. There is actually, I think I don't remember the details, but I think I saw that there's actually a machlokas on that question.
Nah.
Whether
use it for that same way.
Yeah. I think in at least some cases the Rambam says that it's okay. Yeah. Okay. Sigmar says the Kula Alma. Now everybody would agree, both Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, Heichad the Nachtalape. If the wife came out to greet the shliach, the Yavalei Chayfet, that she herself, of her own volition, gave this object even to the second shliach, Mahadah Shaklami Negita, and then she took the get from him. Kula Amalei Pligid the Gita Gita Mal Yahavi. Then fine, everybody would agree, both Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish would agree that the get is fine. Why? Because it's true that Rish Lakish is saying the husband does not want his pekadin to be in somebody else's hands. Fine, but that doesn't affect the validity of the get itself. The shlichus of the get is not buckled thereby. And even according to Rabbi Yechanan, fine. He wanted, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, that the circumstance may be that the husband Davka wants the object to be handed over before the get is handed over. So in this case, fine. The object was handed over before the get. Therefore, even Rabbi Yechanan wouldn't have a problem with that. There's no change in the giving of the get itself. Therefore, the get itself is fine. Kitzvigi, when would Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish be arguing, Hechad de Amalei Shkil Min HaChefetz, if the husband says to the Shliach, take the object from her, V'hadir Havlo Dita, and then give her the gift. Zavka in that order. Which means Rashi says, now why is he doing that? Because he wants to be able to use the get to the bargaining chip, basically. He wants this object back. He figures if you give her the get first, then she's gonna say, good, now I'm home free and that's it. She'll leave with the object. I wanna make sure that I'm gonna get back this object. Therefore I insist that you take the object first before you give her the get.
Meaning if you don't get it, you don't get the get.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He wants to be able to use it as a bargaining chip, yeah. So therefore, now what happens? The shliach does it the other way around. He gives her the guest first and then takes the thing. Rav Yechanan would say, in that case, it's possible no matter which shliach it was. The first shliach would be possible. Even the first shliach would be possible because he changed around the order. The husband, Davka, wanted it to be done in that order and he did it the other way around. So when we said before, when we said a few lines ago that Rabbi Yochanan says that the reason why the shliach can't make another shliach is because sometimes that might possible to get. This is the sometimes that he means. If the husband was particular about the order that things should be done in. So even the first shliach changed the order of the apostle. And the problem with making the second shliach, it's much more likely when you tell the second shliach the instruction, you're going to forget that crucial detail. You're going to forget to tell him, you know what, the husband, Davka, wants the object first before the get is handed over. And then the second shliach will go do it the wrong way around. But a shlokish, machshir b'shlokish, the kosher came by. Where the shlokish says, no, it's even kosher, it's kosher if it's done that way, out of order. Because the fact of the matter is, after all said and done, the husband did get his object, and the get was delivered. So after all, b'dievet, sort of, the husband won't have minded that it was done in the wrong order, as long as he gets his thing back. So therefore, the shlokish figures it doesn't matter. So therefore, it's fine to have a second shliach. The first shliach doesn't give over the instructions properly. Big deal. Even the first shliach himself, if he had switched around the instructions, would be fine.
If the dafka, the husband says, first take the object and then give the gift, and say if it's not necessary, it's not important if it doesn't happen in this people.
Okay, so the shlokish figures it's not important because after all, ultimately the husband gets back. Well, even Hoylachas, he said before, if he's sick, then he'd be able to tell another shliach.
Rish Lakish would say it's not good,
Rish Lakish would say if he said Hoylachat. No, because we said on Amud Aleph, it seems that everybody agrees from Amud Aleph that if the first shliach fell ill, then he's allowed to send another shliach. Even if he said Hoylachat, yeah.
It's not
chayla, that depends. I mean, we said in the Mishnah Bechlal that the first shliach is not allowed to appoint a second shliach anyway, unless he's sick and can't complete the task. So it wouldn't really be relevant. I mean, when are we talking about when the first shliach is sending another shliach? Would have to be the first one is sick. That's what we established before. That's what Rav Hanna had said that the Mishnah is telling us. And then yes, within that, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish are arguing if he says that I want you to pick up this thing, even if he's sick, does he have the right to appoint a second shliach or not? Okay, the fact of the matter is, in general, throughout Shas, the rule is when you have a machlokas Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, the halacha is like Rabbi Yechon. Thus, it is over here also. So therefore, yes, according to Rabbi Yechon in this case, even if he's sick, he can't send another shliach, and he himself has to be careful to keep the proper order now. Now, the previous Mishnah had talked about you bring a get within Eretz Yisrael, so therefore there's no issue of b'fanim nechta, b'fanim nechta. There's just a question of one shliach creating another shliach. Now, how about I maybe get from Medina Sayyam? What if you bring a get from Medina Sayyam, where the original shliach is supposed to be saying b'fanim nechta when it's delivered? The chola, but he became sick. Ois the shliach for Beis Din. What he can do is he can create another shliach in the presence of Beis Din, u'mashalchoi, and then he sends him off with a get. The first shliach says to the Beis Din, he makes the declaration b'fanenechtem in their presence. The end shliach achron says b'fanenechtem. The last shliach does not have to say this declaration when he ultimately delivers the get to the destination. Elo, I'm a shliach Beis Din. Instead, he says, I'm a shliach of Beis Din, and therefore you can assume that Beis Din knew what they were doing when they made me a shliach. They heard the details that this get was properly written. What's the vort, by the way, when he said, when we say that he did that, in Sorech Leimer, he doesn't have to say, I mean, how he can't say, it wasn't written, and so, it almost implies that he could say if he wanted to. A couple of different explanations, one of them being, what if the shliach was sort of going back and forth? What if the husband gave it to one shliach, who then gave it to another shliach, who also was present at the time the get was written? Nevertheless, he doesn't have to say, b'fanenechtem, it's okay for him to say shliach based on any. The Rav Chaver gives a different explanation. The Rav Chaver says that for this purpose, the second shliach, which actually we'll talk about this in the Gemara, about how shlichus transfers from one person to another, the second shliach stands fully in place of the first shliach. So therefore, yes, if the first shliach was able to say b'fanenechtem, b'fanenechtem, the second one could validly say that also. But he doesn't have to. Instead, he can say shliach based on any. Because he hears from the first person, and since we said at the beginning that when you hear a shliach halacha saying b'fanenechtem, it has the fours of two edim, then yes, according to that seems to be what the Rav Chaver is saying, that he can actually say b'fanenechtem, because he could say that because it's the equivalent of as if he was standing there.
Do we say, and should by that, that the second shliach is the force of also to when he repeats what the first
shliach is? If he's going to say that, but we're saying he doesn't need to. Instead, Instead, he can say shliach based in, and that I'm a shliach based in, and therefore you can rely on that based in, that they knew what they were doing. The Gemara says, Omer le Rabbanan la Abimi b'rei Rav Abohu. The Rabbanan, the Chachamim, asked Abimi, the son of Rav Abohu. They told him, Boy me name Rav Abohu, ask your father, Rav Abohu, the following question. Shliach the shliach, meshavish shliach oloi. So we said in our Mishnah that the first shliach can create a second shliach. What about, can the second shliach create a third one? Is it can it keep on going like that indefinitely? Yeah. So Abimi tells them, holo to bai, I don't need to ask my father, holo to bai lahu, you have no reason to ask that. Midkatoni, eina shliach achroin, because the Mishnah didn't say that the second shliach, shliach hasheni. It says the shliach achra, in the last shliach, when he's delivering the get, just says shliach based on it. Which implies that mikvah the meshavish shliach. Achra implies that there's more than two, there's at least three over here, and therefore the Mishnah itself is implying that there can be three or however many. Now, it is true, by the way, it is true that there are a lot of places where we find the word achra means the second one. In Parashat Shmos, 2 weeks ago, we had that the Hemina Lekoila Osa Achroin, that if they don't listen to the first Os, they'll listen to the Osa Achroin, and yet it's not the last one, because the last one is pouring out water and it turns into blood. Go to the Equator by the Achroin Minodishan, right? That by the Achroin, I mean the last one, the third business, and then the second one. Nevertheless, though, in our Mishnah, if the Mishnah had wanted to tell us that you're only allowed to have two Shluchim, and that's it, it stops there, it should have been clear, it should have said the word Sheni, Ein Shliach Sheni. By changing it. So the word Achron, Abimi is saying, it implies that it can be however many you want. Ikadam, read another. Where are we? Ella. Kitiboil, who? No, rather, what you should be asking is as follows. Ki mishavish shliach, the beistin, and after the shaloi beistin. This person, when he is making a shliach, does it davka have to be done in beistin, or can it be done even not in the presence of a beistin? Can he do it in private? Amrulay, so the Chachamim answered Avimi, holam yibarilon, well, we don't need to ask that. Mitzvatani, elohim a shliach beistin. And the Mishnah says that the last shliach says, I am a shliach beistin. Obviously, that means it has to have been done in beistin. Rav Nachman Yitzchak learned the previous discussion in a different version. He learned that the discussion went as follows. They said to Abimi, "Boy, me name Rav Abohu." Ask Rav Abohu the following question: Shliach the Shliach, the second Shliach, ki meshavi Shliach. If he wants to declare a third Shliach, does that have to be based in, or shall it be based in? Or maybe only the first Shliach can be done in private. We know that the second Shliach, let's assume, has to be done in based in. Does the third shliach have to be done in beis din, or can it be done in private? So according to this version, Avimi says to them, why ask that? Ask to begin with whether you can have a third shliach. What are you assuming there can be a third shliach, and asking if it can be in beis din? So they answered, we don't have any question about that, obviously. It says the last shliach. Again, the last one implies that there's at least three. So therefore, we know from that alone that there can be three.
So why is the Gemara asking the question?
No, so that's Avimi was asking them, how do you know, B'chol, that there can be a third Shliach? And they're answering him based on the word Acharon. We just have the question, is that third or fourth or whatever Shliach made in Beis Din or not? So he tells them, you shouldn't need to ask that also, I'm a Shliach Beis Din, because the Mishnah says that he has to say, I'm a Shliach Beis Din, implying that it has to have been done in Beis Din.
We have
two different versions of the discussion. The bottom line is, according to both, the difference of the versions is really just which order the questions were asked in. It comes out though that yes, you can make a third or fourth or whatever shliach, but they have to be done in Beis Din.
That's only for Purim.
That's for Shlucha, right? Because there has to be b'fan and after b'fan and after.
But
again, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Right. And that's actually the next statement. Omar Rabba, Shliach be'Eretz Yisrael or Itzakama Shluchim. So Rabba said, a Shliach in Eretz Yisrael is able to make any number of Shluchim. He can make a Shliach who makes a Shliach, etc. Okay, it has to be, like we said on Omar Aleph, it has to be the Cholo or there's some kind of onus. But since there's no B'fan and Echta, B'fan and Echtam to worry about, then yes, he can make an indefinite number of Shluchim. Omar Avashi, however, the Mesrishin Botlakulam, however, if the first Shliach dies sometime before the get is delivered, then all of their Shlichos in a bottle. So the first one, the Reuven made Shimon a Shliach, and Shimon made Levi a Shliach, etc., and Reuven died, and that's it. The whole thing is bottle, and we got to start all over.
So if there's not Shliach, you're going to deliver the get after the first one passed away.
Then no good.
Then
we get this bottle. Actually, Maram Shif asked an interesting question. Does that only apply to the first one, or would it apply maybe to one of the middle ones in the chain also? Well, let's say if Shimon died, does it make Levi and Yehuda apostle, or maybe not? After all, since Reuven, he leaves it unresolved. He doesn't yet. However, Omar Mab Ravashi, Hoda Abba de Katnosihi. This statement to my father of Ravashi was something that he said when he was younger. Meaning, in other words, he said it when he was younger, but actually you can slug it up. He himself maybe would have thought better of it when he was older. Because, think of it, Ilum Mesbal, if the husband dies, midi b'shasha ispu, do any of them have any validity anymore? Kulu mikayach, because after all, kulu mikayach man ka'asu, mikayach the baal ka'asu, because after all, they're all coming based on the kayach of the husband. Well, isi la baal isnu l'kulu, so if the husband is still alive, doesn't matter whether the first shliach died, they're not coming based on his kayach, they're coming based ultimately on the husband. So therefore, if the husband is alive, then all of them are still intact. Less de la baal, less no lekul. Only if the husband dies do all of their shlichos expire. So it doesn't matter whether the first shliach in the chain died or not. As long as the husband is still alive, that's the key thing.
Husband is the first.
Effectively, for that purpose, the husband is the first, yeah.
The husband, not the first.
Yeah. There's a few different shlichos where the Rebbe addressed this point a little bit. There's Achronim talk about what exactly the underlying machlokas between Ravashi and Mabar Ravashi is. One idea of it is basically how far do we say that the second shliach or the third shliach or whatever takes over from the previous one? Is it just basically that is it just the shlichos gets transferred, or is it actually the identity as the shliach gets transferred? So Mabar Ravashi is taking the view that the identity of the shlich, of the shliach gets transferred. But therefore, if the first one dies, then that's it. Where's your identity coming from anymore?
If the identity is transferred, there's no problem.
So maybe I have that backwards. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, actually that's true. Yeah, because the Rebbe also talks about in connection. There's a Gemara elsewhere in Bava Metzia where Ravashi has a shita about shlichos that in general you can have a goy as a shliach for most things, just not for giving truma. And the Gemara says that's not correct. So that the Rebbe equates those two things. A goy can't fully take over the identity of a Jew, obviously, but he can take over the shlichos. Because the actual thing can still get accomplished through the guy. So the same, it's similar to what he's saying over here, that the shlichos can still be transferred from person to person, but you still need the first link in the chain to be intact. Whereas Mabar Ravashi is saying that no, it's the identity of the shliach is getting transferred, and therefore as long as the original mishaleach is alive, then you're good. Actually, there was a different sikha also sometime in the Mems where they never pointed out the expression that Ma'abar Rav Ashi uses, that this is dekatnusa, that this is what the expression dekatnusa, like Rav Ashi, so he's saying sort of like Rav Ashi is talking only about the smaller kind of shlichos, the fact that the shlichos itself being transferred. He's not talking about the greater aspect of shlichos or the actual identity of the shliach being transferable. There was a certain man who was sent to get to his wife. The shliach says, I don't know her. It's too much of a hassle to go and try to find her. So he tells him, Zil yaver la'aba baman yumi. Fine, go give the get to Abba baman yumi. De'iyu yadala. He knows her. And then he can give the get to her. So you'll be the first shliach, he'll be the second shliach, basically. So he went and he couldn't find this Abba Baman Yomi. However, he found these three chachamim who were sitting. V'yosir Rav Safra Gabayu, and Rav Safra, who was from Babel, who used to travel back and forth between Babel and Eretz Yisrael a lot, was sitting with them. So the first three chachamim told him, Meser Milach Kamedi Don, fine, you don't want to wait around until Abba Baman Yomi shows up. Hand over to us the verbal shlichos that was given to you. Then, so give us the get, give us the instructions that we should give it to Abba Baman Yomi. When he comes, then we'll give it to him and then he can give it to her. Amar Rav Safra, so Rav Safra says, how's that going to work? This shliach is one who was not meant to do the gerushin. The husband has not sent him to begin with, give the get to my wife, because the shliach said, I can't be bothered to look for her. So therefore, he only made him a shliach, basically to deliver it from point A to point B. So how can you transfer that shliach to somebody else? There's a few different ways that Mepharshim have of explaining what exactly the problem is. So one way of looking at it is it relates to what we said on Amud Aleph about Mili, Mili, Mimser, and L'shliach. Especially according to the Ksaita Choshen talks about, based on the explanation from HaKadosh Medroish that we said about that Mili means when you have, if it requires somebody else's consent or not, here it requires Abba Baman Yumi's consent. Is he going to agree to be the shliach to give the get to the woman? Without that, how can you transfer the shlichos from one person to another? Another part of the, you know, Yeshua talks about maybe the problem is that there's the Fun and Nechtem angle on it. This guy is able to say the Fun and Nechtem, fine, but how is he able to make Abba Baman Yomi a shliach when Abba Baman Yomi is not there to be able to eventually deliver it? So they were all embarrassed that they hadn't thought of that point. Rava says, a generation later, Kapchinu Rav Safra leplasa Rav Onan Samuchi. Look at that. Rav Safra, who did not have smicha because he was from Babel and didn't have smicha in Babel, he was able to cut off. He was able to cut the legs out from under three Rabbanan who do have smicha. Like he knew more than they did.
From Eretz Yisrael.
Because they were from Eretz Yisrael and they all had smicha, yeah.
What was his idea?
His point was, how can you accept this, that he should be able to leave the get over here and the shlichus will be handed over to Abba Baman Yomi in his absence? That doesn't work. Either because Milu the Mimseron or because of the Bufana Nechtem angle or whatever it is. So they were all embarrassed. They hadn't thought at that point. So Rava is saying, look at that. That Rav Safra, who does not have smicha, was able to overpower in an argument these three Rabbanan and cut the legs out from under them, admit that they didn't have anything to reply back to him, where they do have smicha. You would think that they know more. Amar Ramashi, my tosa. So Ramashi says, why? What's the mistake? My kamalei Abba Baman Yumi v'lei hat. Why? Did the husband specifically tell him that I want Abba Baman Yumi to give it to her and not you? No. The fact is, he's saying, you don't recognize. Oh, did I? Yeah, you're right. Amar Rav Ashi, my kapchinu. Why? What exactly is this great unassailable argument of Rav Safra? Mika amalei Abba Baman Yumi v'leihah. If the husband told him, I want Davka Abba Baman Yumi to give it to her, not you, the husband would have preferred if he gives it to her. He's just saying, I don't know her and I can't be bothered to look for her. Fine. So for lack of anything better, we'll have Abba Baman Yumi do it. But essentially, he had appointed him a shliach loyalacha. So therefore, not necessarily should we say that this argument of Rav Safra is that strong. Ikadamri, another version, is Amar Rava Kafchina Rav Safra was Rabban Tzochi b'Teusa. The second version is Rava says it was actually a mistake that this argument that Psaffer used against them. It's actually a mistake that they didn't find an answer to him. And Amar Rav Ashi, well, mitzvah, because it's based on it's not correct. One second. Amar Rav Ashi, my Tosa, what's the mistake? So let me explain what the mistake is. Because what is he saying? He's saying, Dafka, I want Abubam and Yumi to give, not you. So we have two different...
There's two versions,
but the point is, according to the first version, Rava is saying that Rav Safra was correct in refuting those three comments. And Rav Ashi is arguing...
Because he didn't make him a shliach, right.
No, because Rava was saying because he didn't make him a shliach for gerushin. He just made him a shliach for to bring it to the shliach gerushin. The shliach halacha. And Rav Ashi is saying why? Either one of them could have been the shliach halacha. That's version one. Version two is that Rava is saying actually that was a mistake. Rav Safra should not have used that argument against those three. And now, according to that, what Rav Ashi is answering to that? No, I will in a second. I'll be right there. According to that, there's two different explanations between Rashi and Tosfos what Rav Ashi means according to the second version. Tosfos says that he's explaining what Rava is saying. What's the mistake? The fact that the husband specifically wants, the fact that the husband could have had either one of them be the shliach. According to Rashi, rather, Rav Ashi in the second version is again refuting Rava. You have one version Rava is saying Rav Safra is correct, the other version he's saying is incorrect. And then, according to that, Rav Ashi, two versions, the first one he's saying, Rava, you're saying he was correct. I have an argument that he's incorrect. Well, according to the second version, Rava is saying he's incorrect, and Rav Ashi is saying, actually, he's correct. Whereas, according to Tosfos, in both cases, Rav Ashi is saying that actually Rav Safra's argument is incorrect. Rather, the first version is, according to Rashi, the second version is a question. My Ta'usa, in what way are you saying it's a mistake? It's not a mistake. He had a valid argument. According to Tosfos, it's rather he's stating, as a statement, My Ta'usa, what is the mistake? Rather than saying he made a mistake, what is the mistake? That's, yeah.